You're listening to The Music Show on RN, and we're about to talk about a book called Women of Note. It's by Rosalind Appleby. The subtitle is The Rise of Australian Women Composers Across Several Generations. And from one of the more recent generations is the composer Cathy Travers. She's based here in Perth, and she's sitting just across from me with her accordion strapped to her, and she's going to play a tune of her own devising. Thank you very much indeed, Cathy Travers. Cathy Travers was playing the accordion. It was a piece by Cathy Travers, a piece about a bus called Old Mr. T's Dormobile. I think, Cathy, you need to explain.
I do indeed. It's a little piece I wrote for my dad as a gift for Father's Day last year. And Dad's, you know, well into his 80s, and his entire life has had this kind of love of gadgets, new gadgets and things, and travelling. So my first memory of both of those things is as a five-year-old when he bundled the entire family, which was three children under the age of 10, mum and dad, off to England for a six-month camping trip in a newfangled gadget, a camper van, which was a Bedford Dormobile, which, if anyone can remember those old Bedford vans, they're, you know, about the size of this desk, I think, Andy.
Which is big for a desk, but not for...
Not for his living quarters, yeah. No. And his cultural heritage is Irish, so I thought, okay, bit of a challenge. Yes. I have never written a jig. I've only played the smallest amount of traditional Celtic music. So I thought, okay, going to be a prezi, I've got to, you know, pull my finger out. So you have my first jig.
You have a talent for it. And look, this shiny, shiny thing that you'll be playing on. This is beautiful and it's so new.
It is. It's 1 week old. I've been dreaming of getting a handmade accordion for several years now, and The concert instruments are large instruments, so I've kind of been dithering around, shall I get one or not? Because physically it is very different to manage to the instruments I've played, but it's been well worth it. I'm loving it.
Yes, well, it sounds gorgeous as well as looking gorgeous. Yeah. Now, you're in a book, and we should talk about this.
Yes, let's talk about the book and the author.
The author is with us. She's Rosalind Appleby. The book is called Women of Note, The Rise of Australian Women Composers, and one of those rising Australian women composers is Cathy Travers. Roz, let's talk maybe first of all about why you wanted to write this book.
Well, I remember being asked to write an article on women composers and finding it exceedingly difficult because I couldn't find anything, which was good because it forced me to go to the composers and ask them themselves. So I became aware that there was a large number of women composers in Australia who were really active but who were really completely undocumented. That's a generalisation because some of them are in some of our history books, but there seemed to be missing pieces of our jigsaw of history. So, and I just found from talking to the women how fascinating they were and what amazing stories they had and how passionate they were and how significant their contributions to Australian music was. And so I thought, gee, someone should write a book about that.
Yes. I mean, of course, on the one hand, we've got the I suppose, typical story of women being neglected for their contribution in music. And yet, on the other hand, you have to say, not as neglected as almost any other country in the world. Actually, as women in Australia have done pretty well compared to their sisters elsewhere.
And I really think that's something we need to know about and celebrate because it is amazing. I mean, 25% of our composers are women. And like you say, that's more than any other country in the world, just about. And I don't think that's something that's really that well recognised and documented and celebrated.
Yes, so, and some of the best known names as well. Mm. You know, I mean, if people who know about composers, if you ask them to name some names, they're going to say Anne Boyd, they're going to say Eleanor Katz-Chernin, for starters, and there are others as well that might well trip off the tongue. I mean, some of them are actually as well known as their male counterpart.
Exactly. Mary Finsterer, yes. Lisa Liam, yeah. in their genres, they would be better recognised probably yes. than a lot of their male contemporaries yes. around the world.
So it's not really a book of special pleading then. It's more a book of telling stories.
And yes, telling stories and celebrating, as it says, celebrating the rise, because I think it's already happened and I don't think we do really need to plead the case as much as we had to in the past. I think it's more about looking at what's already here and saying, hey, let's take note of this.
Let's name some names. Let's start with Margaret Sutherland because, quite apart from anything else, her story is perhaps more lurid than most because she seems to have been married to a monster.
Yeah, she definitely had a difficult scenario. She wrote a lot of music when she was married, but then she wrote an awful lot more when she was divorced. And, yeah, there are letters, you know, of her documenting that the abuse that she got from her husband and, you know, that she was considered mentally unstable by him because he was a psychologist and he thought that for a woman to be composing music was a sign of mental poor health.
This was mentioned on the music show only last week.
Right.
Warren Burt was saying that when Felix Verda met Margaret Sutherland's husband, he asked Felix Verda's advice, said, I've got this wife who thinks she's a composer. I think she's crazy.
Yeah, so sad.
And Felix and Margaret Sutherland became good friends as a result of this.
Yeah, she was such a trailblazer, and I really think she's – a lot of people don't – even a lot of women, as I spoke to them, didn't know that much about her, and she's this iconic figure, really. She's the first to really call herself a professional composer, to be full-time, to really be blazing the trail. And since her, there's been so many. So she was really,
And she's – and a good composer too. Mm. I mean, absolutely no special pleading needed. Her voice is really distinctive.
Yeah,
I think.
And what was amazing about her is that she continued to create and she continued to challenge her own musical boundaries the whole of her life. So in the latest decades of her life, she was, you know, exploring atonalism and introducing Australia to stuff that was very, very new. She didn't stay in, you know, her voice grew all the time. She never sort of sat on her haunches and said, I'm done now. You know, she kept going.
You divide the book into really three generations, and then there's a final section which sort of looks at the composers who've appeared recently. Margaret Sutherland clearly belongs to the first generation, along with Peggy Glanville Hicks, for instance. The second generation, you call them the feminists. This is because they were more active, more aware in the sense of what they faced.
Well, they were part of that decade of the 90s of, you know, sort of third wave feminism. A lot of them were active in that. And they also came at a time where it was really essential for women to really wave the flag, because there were real issues with equal opportunity and a lot of women not getting opportunities because they were, you know, considered to be second rate. And so there was a lot of activism, and I think it made a huge contribution to the Australian music scene that composers today are still reaping the benefits from. So whilst we probably don't need to have the same approach anymore, we still need to acknowledge what they achieved. And not all of them, but majority of them were really having to throw their weight into the ring and as a collective to get some recognition.
And sometimes, like Moya Henderson, for instance, getting a poor reputation amongst some of the music, the organisations,
the establishments.
Yes, that's right. Getting a reputation as a rabble rouser.
Yeah. It's hard to bounce back from that sort of thing. I mean, it's a long time ago now, and most women continue to write and continue to have their careers and don't need to be that aggressive anymore. But yeah, Moya did definitely get tarred, and I'm glad to see she's writing again now and had a piece performed last year and she's still going.
Well, not just a piece, but I mean, the Akhmatova Requiem is an enormous piece of work. So the third generation, the generation that includes some of the names we mentioned earlier, Elena Katz Chernin, Mary Finstra, Lisa Lim, and indeed Ms. Travers here. One of the things that's very interesting reading through the book is that we go from these women such as Moya Henderson, who were talking about feminism, to a group of women who are, it's not that they're not aware of feminism, but that they feel that they haven't had to fight the same fights, that if they've had problems as composers, they're just the sort of problems that any composer has.
Yeah, that's right, or any other person in any other industry. So they haven't had to, you know, fight in that kind of way. And in fact, some of them found that when they were called on to sort of wave the flag for feminist composers, that they found that quite insulting, that their music on its own didn't speak enough.
Yes.
They wanted just recognition as composers, and to distinguish gender was an insult for them. So, yeah, it shows how far we've come.
Yes, I think it's Mary Finster at the Composing Women's Festival in the 1980s who feels herself obliged to be something that she isn't, you know, angry and fighting, and she doesn't feel that way at all.
Yeah. And then the flip side of that, with people like Kat Hope, who were getting a lot of positive media attention because she's a noise composer and she's a woman, and it's quite unusual for a woman to be doing that. So she was getting more recording opportunities because of the fact that she was a woman.
Yeah. I'm talking to Rosalind Appleby, who's the author of Women of Note, which is a brand new book called, subtitled The Rise of Australian Women Composers. Kathy Travers, maybe I can ask you about that. I mean, did you not so much whether you felt that you had a struggle on your hands, but whether you did you feel in a sense that a lot of the work had been done by people like Anne Boyd and Moya Henderson and Helen Gifford?
Well, I think yes and no. When I first entered the music industry, I was in the rock music industry. And at that time, actually, there was an enormous struggle. I remember the first audition I went to, which was an audition as a keyboard player for a band. And it was a heavy rock band, Deep Purple kind of thing. And we, you know, I took my Hammond organ along. We jammed for a long time. The guys seemed to be pleased, but no one said anything. And as I was leaving, the leader of the band came out and said, "Look, you know, if you were a bloke, we'd give you the job immediately. You're fantastic." So, you know, the work hadn't been done, but I think maybe things like that, probably depends on your personality, things like that made me think, okay, so maybe I have to work a little bit harder or do things a little bit differently. But, you know, the main thing for me is that my music actually speaks to people. I don't really give a sod about what my gender is, you know. That's my personal private stuff.
Yes, yes. The other thing that comes out of the book, and you might be interested in contributing to this as well, Kathy, is the notion of stereotyping, which is that, you know, women write one sort of music and not another. And Margaret Sutherland, you quote her in the book, Roz, saying that women don't go in for tackling epics. Now, put that way, you know, it kind of sounds rather sad and pathetic. But then there are also people, figures from the second part of your book, the feminist generation, as you call them, who very specifically say, no, we're women, we write women's music. And Anne Boyd would say that there was a difference between the way women's music sounds and the way men's music sounds. Where do you stand on this, Kathy?
Well, I think it's probably true. I mean, I haven't ever actually analysed any musical piece to try and figure that out, you know, if it's really too in technical terms. But I think, you know, the genders are different, definitely, you know, and we approach things in different ways. But it's also true at different ages in our life we approach things in different ways, you know. I approach things a lot differently now than I did 20 years ago, you know, and that's true of everything.
But, Kathy, I have to say, to try and then map that onto a group of people and say, you're this gender, so your music is going to sound more like something, is really quite reductive and unhelpful. And that's what I learnt from looking at this book, that women in Australia are writing such diverse music that they're to try and to categorise them is really unhelpful, and instead just acknowledging the huge richness that's there and giving them freedom to be able to be a Cat Hope Noise artist or a Becky Llewellyn Curves Gentle, and, you know, to give them permission to be that without trying to analyse it even is I think even more helpful.
Well, I'm not saying that I think women write a particular kind of music and men write a particular kind of music. I actually believe, and I can't back this up with any statistics, but in my gut, I believe that women are more willing to take risks than men. And I think that's part of the way society is structured. And, you know, over hundreds and hundreds of years, that the role-playing thing. And women, if they want to break out into an industry, they have to take bigger risks, you know. That's part of what we are as women. And so if we're going to make an artistic statement or a creative statement of any kind, then we do it because we really, really firmly believe in it. And so from that point of view, I think women have a completely different attitude to the creative process.
There's a nice bit in the book, Roz, where Elena Katz-Chernin confesses that she worries that her music might be a bit too girly.
Too feminine, too twee.
Great.
Yeah, so you can't win, can you?
No, you can't. And I guess that's still the baggage that we're carrying, is that we don't want to be categorised.
Yes, indeed. Look, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
It's called Women of Note, The Rise of Australian Women Composers. It's by Rosalind Appleby. It's published by Fremantle Press, just down the road from where we are in Perth. And it's being launched this afternoon at 5 o'clock at the Dolphin Theatre at the University of Western Australia. And you may well be able to get in if you show up and ask nicely. Thank you very much indeed, Roz, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Andy.
And thank you, Kathy Travers. And congratulations on that sparkling new instrument.
My new squeeze, yes.
Your new squeeze.